Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show.
Spook Show fans, it's your old pal Cousin Zach welcoming you to another edition of Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show here on the Gas Digital Network. If you love the show, and I know you do, go to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use that promo code Zach, Z-A-C, and get yourself a 7-day free trial to not just this show, but all the other great shows available on the network. You can also go to PodcastMerch.com, where we have t-shirts, long sleeves, hoodies, and hats. Thank you so much for wearing them out the shows, it really means a lot. Today is going to be a very silly movie with three very funny people. I am very excited. To my left, been on the show before, my good friend from the Wrestle Roasts podcast, as well as...
Out for Smokes with Mike Racine.
My good friend, Scott Chaplin.
What's up, man? How are you?
Thank you very much for being here, buddy.
Of course, I'm thrilled.
This is going to be a lot of fun, and I appreciate your time very much.
Bro.
To my right, both guys, first time on the show. Thank you so much for being here. We got Reg Thomas.
Hey, what's going on? How you feeling, Zach?
I'm feeling great, man. Thank you very much for being here, dude.
Thanks for having me, man.
This is going to be a lot of fun. Very, very silly, very relaxed, and I appreciate your time. Absolutely. And from the world of deathmatch wrestling, my good friend. Hello, Hardbody.
How's it going, Zach? Thank you, dude. This is exciting, man. I'm excited.
Thank you for being here. For people that have heard me talk about the no-ring death matches, I recently saw Hardbody wrestle at a bar in Brooklyn. We had a blast together. And, you know, new super best friends. So
Blood brothers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, we have... This man has seen a lot of glass. Scott was at my match. Scott saw me almost bleed to death.
Oh, yeah, man. It was scary.
Very excited to have you on. Thank you for being here.
Did you cut something important, or is it just like little cuts that...
Well, if you consider your face...
Mostly arteries.
Yeah. The cuts across your face are always going to bleed.
Just arteries.
Yeah. You see this big one?
Yeah, I see that one.
Yeah, that was an accident. It went bad.
That was from blading?
No, that was a light tube that went sideways.
That's bad. Like, usually it doesn't get you. It's like a little vagina, usually. That's like a whole ass fucking...
That's a gash.
I was dying.
Did you Nick Gage them as they were lifted? Did they airlift you out of there?
No, I smiled. Okay. I made sure I got a close-up of me smiling and laughing in the barbed wire. I'm a professional. Thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it. Let's get plugs out of the way. Scott, please tell people about your podcast or dates, anything you want people to get eyes on.
Out for Smokes, like you said, and Wrestle Roast, which is a really fun podcast with Dan St. Germain, Mike Lawrence, and Robert Karpolis, who's a former writer for the WWE. Just check them out. And they both have Patreons. Join them and yada, yada, yada.
Fantastic. Reg?
Yeah, I do Productively Stoned. It's a 420-friendly comedy show along with Jordan Rock. We throw it at the Stand every month. And I also just started headlining around the countries, different places. And I also toured with a couple people, so you can check me out on the road with CP the Comedian, Amanda Seals, and Rennie.
Fantastic. Hardbody?
Hello, Hardbody on Instagram. You can check out all my independent dates there. Other than that, XPW Wrestling on Fight TV. Check it out, weekly episodes there. So,
fantastic. Guys, August the 27th, I will be in Rochester, New York, headlining with Chris Faga. We picked a really bad weekend. Jim Norton's there right before us, and Doug Stanhope's right there after us. Please come fucking see us. Please don't make me go to Rochester and eat a garbage plate, sadly, and lose money. Please. Please. Other than that, everything's
let him
going
eat
great.
A garbage plate and gain money.
Yes. Either way, I'm eating a garbage plate. Regardless. But please, for the love of God, come out. Follow me on Instagram at ZachIsNotFunny. And support my other shows. The Real Ass Podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And Bye Guys on Thursdays with Einon Fidance. Thank you guys for tuning in. Before we go any further, how about a word from our sponsor? RockAuto.com! They've been in the business for 20 years, and while every other business in this country might be raising prices or low on stock, when it comes to auto parts, you've got a guy in RockAuto.com. I'm telling you, they have the auto parts you need in stock at reliably low prices. If you've got a used car, it's actually probably appreciated in value. The car market is hot, which is why now's the time to keep your car well-maintained. It feels good to know you're driving a reliable vehicle, and RockAuto.com makes it easy to find every part you need at the lowest prices. So check out the website. There's no promo code needed because their prices are already that good, but there is a little box where you can check that you heard about the site on Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, your favorite podcast in the world that advertises RockAuto.com. Hey, fans of the show over the age of 21. I just want to take 1 second to tell you about our favorite sponsor, and that is Yo Kratom. The price of everything is going up this year. It's insane. Gasoline, rent, groceries. Well, you know what's going to stay the same? A kilo of Kratom from YoKratom.com is going to stay $60. It comes right to your goddamn door. So stop going to bodegas, smoke shops, or gas stations when you can just go to YoKratom.com and have a full kilo delivered to your door for just $60. It is absolutely one of the best deals in the world. You're going to love it. They're one of the greatest sponsors. They're the marquee sponsor for Skankfest. They're so good to us here on the show. We love them. Check it out. That's YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. And we're back. Guys, today we're watching Sci Fighters with Rowdy Roddy Piper. It's from 1996. We're watching it on Amazon. It's also on Tubi. Anywhere you can find crappy movies for free, this one will be up there. Rowdy Roddy Piper, excellent career. Tail end of it, really phoning it in. Let's watch a great movie. Nah, instead, let's watch Sci Fighters. Ladies, roll that beautiful bean footage.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So Roddy Piper, I mean, he left wrestling to act, and he had a really good run of very good movies, and then I think at a certain point, he's like, well, I gotta keep doing these, or I left wrestling for nothing, because he's in some real stinkeroos at a certain point.
And now, sci-fighter. Sci as in science, or?
Sci-fi, science fiction. And fighters, yes. Sci-fi fighters.
Ah, okay.
And, I mean, will it be as bad as Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies? I sure hope not. Because that movie...
I've never even heard of that. Is that same cast? That
no, it's... I want to say possibly his last movie. And it's with Shane Douglas and Kurt Angle. And I hosted a screening of it where I just went heel on the director during the Q&A. And I don't think he'll ever speak to me again. Because it's advertised as a Rowdy Roddy Piper movie, but in reality, it's a Shane Douglas movie.
Oh, no.
So during the Q&A, I asked the director, was it hard to film the movie around Shane's schedule at Kmart?
No.
And he got so fucking mad at me.
Damn. Over under on how many perks do you think those guys went through during the course of filming that movie?
Oh, dude, Angle's. Well, to tell That's you, Kurt Angle's in it.
Right, right.
Matt Hardy is in it, and he's looking a little puffy.
Yeah.
Some
would say heroin puffy.
There's some. It's like right when he got with Rebe too, so they're making out the whole movie for no reason. It's a tough look.
I was saying.
Yeah. Is this Angle while he still has like muscle mass on? Have you seen him lately?
It's
he looks like a cancer patient.
As the internet.
Yeah, man. He looks like the Stretch Armstrongs. So you ever like when you cut out the goo and it's just like there's like a weird, there's muscles, but they're gone. They're just like dangling there. The tear, very, very sad.
As the internet has dubbed him, I believe this is Perk Angle.
Oh, no. Okay.
Where he's going. You know when he used to just be purple for no reason?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the Kurt Angle that's in this.
Ooh, okay.
He looks better once he's a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so we are a minute or two into this. I couldn't tell you what the fuck's happening on
screen. It's too dark. I think these guys are trying to maybe escape a place or enter a place.
Is that the other guy that starred in that movie, The Wrestler?
Oh, shit, no. That's crazy you say that because it looks exactly like him, and I think they're trying to make this dude look all fucked up.
Yeah, I believe
you're saying
so.
Mickey Rourke, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think that's just a man who looks like a lion alien, and that's what Mickey Rourke's face looks like. No, it would appear everybody in this has a very specific career trajectory. Jane Heitmeyer is also in Earth, The Final Conflict, and A Fish Story. And Billy Drago, who recently passed away, is in Delta Force 2 and Tremors 4. But he was also in The Hills Have Eyes remake, which is good.
I like Delta Force.
Is he one of those guys who gets things because he's ugly?
I would say so.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty cool career.
That's
though.
A good career, man.
Oh, I love that, to just be like the wildest looking dude. And then you get to
the little ugly
stuff.
Kid from Stranger Things, he's going to work forever.
What, the toothless kid?
The one with the gap and like.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a matter of taste, okay? He's not universally ugly.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's haunting.
He's it.
I'm waiting for one of those kids to get Me Too'd. Because you know there's a lot of pussy getting thrown
Doja
at them.
Doja Cat was trying to go through one of them kids to get some dick.
Yeah.
The main kid is really bad. Have you seen the new season?
Yeah,
like
he's
the main
pretty
kid who he was the main kid. He's like one of the worst actors I've ever seen in my life.
He's pretty terrible. Yeah, I know. Will, right?
Yeah, Will. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Other kids have to know.
Is, like when he's a kid, it's passable.
Oh, of course, because you're a kid and there's like there's confusion in being a kid and there's confusion in being acting poorly. You know, you don't know what the fuck's happening, and so it kind of works out. He's the worst now. So this is his inmate outfit.
I would assume so. This is all supposed to be apparently Boston.
I have yet to see a wrestler I know.
This is Boston 2009. So this is what they thought 2009 was going to look like. So what I've got, I believe this is going to be our bad guy. He is exposed to a deadly toxin that turns him into a monster. Then we are going to meet Rowdy Roddy Piper, who is the detective.
Is he a detective in this?
Yes.
And we know the
he's a space detective.
Do you understand the type of budget you could get for a bad movie back in 1996?
Yeah, because all you had to do was get it. I mean, that was still video stores. And the deal with video stores is it didn't matter because you only had to watch it once. And video copies of shit for rental were like $100 for the store to buy.
Oh, okay.
So every movie on the shelf was like $100-$120. So really, you made your money back pretty fast.
Well, that's the only way these movies kind of exist, right? It's like thanks to video stores.
100%. So there was what I would call just a drought. They needed movies quicker than they could make them when video was at its height.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that's where you got all these straight-to-VHS movies.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because they realized if it had a cool cover and somebody vaguely famous, that they could put it on the shelf and people would rent it.
That reminds me of the Dennis Rodman and Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Oh, what was that called?
I can't remember what's out my head.
If you could look it up in the booth, please. I would like to watch that. But yes, exactly. If it can be made cheaply, and this is another thing we talk about on the movie a lot, which is padding the runtime with credits.
Double team.
Wow, I definitely want to put. I'm going to make a note to watch that.
It's a good one.
So once again, we are now padding the runtime. I don't think the hair designer needs to be in the opening credits, but they're just going to put every name they can because it's cheaper than shooting the movie. Also, I still haven't seen a goddamn thing that's happened in this movie.
It's been pretty dark.
I haven't seen anything. No way, it's snowing again, of course.
Damn, I thought we were flying to Mexico. WWE had nothing to do with these. This was just their own, like, these wrestlers needed pill money and they were taking their own gigs. It wasn't like 100%. The Marine.
Yeah, this wasn't like No Holds Barred or anything. This is way after that. When everybody, because who left to act?
catch the news on
Piper? Well, he's in WCW at this point. What's 96? He's actually gone?
No, 96 he might be in WCW. But they were taking time off. I mean, Hogan was taking time off every few...
To make terrible shit, too.
To make movies.
Man, Three Ninjas is like one of my favorite things ever. And then that motherfucker, High Noon, Mega Mountain, just ruined Three Ninjas. I mean, it's also other kids, but man, such a bad movie.
Ventura had to retire because of injuries, so that's why he acted, right? Or did he choose to act?
I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure he got out of there and never came back. I think he was kind of just pissed off at wrestling, you know?
Lunar Shuttle 3B arriving cargo concourse 3.
How's your drive home tonight, Boston? Those circadian daylights are shutting down.
The wrestlers that quit that go into, like, jobs that you don't hear about are the ones that always super, like, are interesting to me. Like, Chris Nowinski with, like, the brain stuff. And there's, like, a bunch of guys that just own, like, restaurants all along Florida that, like, we would watch, like, back in the day, and now they just, like...
Well, that's a big thing, right?
Scott Steiner had a Shoney's.
A bunch of them.
There's great news footage. There was somebody got shot outside of Scott Steiner's Shoney's.
Yeah.
And they interviewed Scott Steiner on the news. And it's just Scott Steiner talking in his regular voice. And it says, Scott Steiner, local Shoney's owner. And then...
Shoney's a strip club?
No, Shoney's is like a
like
IHOP.
Danny's kind of, yeah.
Type, yeah, like a Denny's. Oh. And then... Abdullah the Butcher had Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese food. Yeah.
They used to, which I heard used to was see that music videos.
I heard that was horrible. I heard that was like a gross ass fucking place.
Wow.
But how do you not go to take a fork?
Yeah, no, of course. That's hilarious.
Man, this movie is underlit. I can't get over how little of it. And this is the, like... This is the good transfer of it.
Hey, that's kind of creepy looking.
Who's this guy? He plays bad guy in a lot.
Yeah, I believe he is. Yeah, that's who I was talking about. Billy Drago. His big movie is The Untouchables.
Yeah, where he gets thrown off the roof.
Thank you. Wow. Let me get to know you a little, Reg. What scared you as a kid?
My mom would turn off all the lights in the house and, like, shoot. So, like, the only light that would be in the house is the bedroom, the main bedroom. And she would lock me on the dark side of the door, and then she would just make a Chucky voice.
Okay, damn. So abuse, yeah.
Yeah, harassment. And not even when you could videotape it and get like a few lights.
First off, the lights were
awesome.
What she was going to see? It was videotape. It was dark.
Yeah.
Damn. What's that?
No, that is. We've talked about it on the show. My dad chased me around the house with an axe after we watched The Shining. Hey, yo,
get real. And like, just like the laughter coming out of my mother from me.
Did you see Chucky as a kid, or were you just scared of Chucky as a concept?
I saw both. I saw Chucky. The one I specifically remember was like one where he was like at a camp, like at a military camp.
That's number three.
Oh, yeah. They show that a lot on TV.
Yeah, I remember that one. Then Slugs scared me a lot. It was a movie where Slugs took over a town and just ate up all the teens.
I want to say it's called Slugs.
Yeah. That one scared me a lot. The Exorcist. Tales from the Hood. You ever saw that movie?
Oh yeah,
From the Hood. I'm not sure if I saw that.
Tales from the Hood. It's
it's scary as shit.
Spike Lee produced it.
Really?
It's really, really good.
It's scary. Like,
it's unironically very good.
Oh wow. Okay.
And it really deals with a lot of shit. I would say that wasn't spoken about as much at the time.
Nah, especially like in a scary. The way they approach it is very interesting because it's like. The movie takes place in like these three gangbangers go to like a funeral home and they got a set up arrangement for a funeral.
No, they have coke. They found coke.
Okay.
Excuse me. I misspoke. They go to a funeral home because the funeral home director, who's played by Clarence Wilson III, who is Link from the Mod Squad and Samson from Half-Baked,
yes,
says that he found a bunch of cocaine in his alleyway. So they're going to try and buy it from him. But he's leading them through the funeral home, telling them stories about how everybody died.
Three different stories, yeah.
That's amazing.
And they keep going, yeah, man, you got the shit. And they'll go, ah, yes, the shit.
That's exactly, that is so good. Oh, that sounds fun. Okay.
And it's very, very good.
Damn.
And then big surprise, he's like the devil.
Yeah. I'm laying this down. Yeah, it's very, very well shot. It's super scary.
Oh, yes, the shit.
Ah, yes, the shit. Don't be scared. SIS is going to read your subliminal. I believe he walked off the set of Half-Baked. They had to shoot all the shit in the day. Because Brewer tells a story about how he got wrapped for the day and he got super high. And then the PA knocked on the door and they're like, hey, Samson's quitting the movie, so we have to shoot him out right now. And he said that's the only time in Half-Baked he's really, really high on screen, is the scene where... they fight Samson at the end.
That's
those are nothing like him. His eyes were red. Just keep looking.
I don't
want
to die from a bow and arrow.
Empty your mind. Let the images go by. Relax your face.
Hard body. Same question. S-I-S, what movie scared you as a kid?
What movie?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, The Exorcist. As a kid, like, Paranormal Activities were hot, so we would get all the boys together and watch that, you know. Yeah, Paranormal Activity and The Exorcist. The Conjuring was pretty good. Insidious I saw in theaters, so it made it worse, you know.
I remember when I saw The Conjuring, I was online to get into it, excellent. And a guy ran out and just went, y'all gonna shit yourselves, and then ran away. And I was like, this movie's gonna be good. And it was. It was a very good movie. Though that's, it's crazy that... So the family that The Conjuring's based on, the Warrens, the Exorcist family or whatever.
Right.
They're the people from Amityville Horror.
The Conjuring is based on the Exorcist?
No, excuse me. The couple are exorcists.
Yeah, they're exorcists. That's their job. Yeah.
The Warrens, they have a museum of like shit they've taken from people's houses that's supposedly like possessed or haunted. Yeah. They were the couple that went and investigated the Amityville Horror. And then when you read about them, they're such fucking charlatans. Like, they would basically... So they would agree to fix people's problems for free in exchange for the life rights to the story. So that then they could rewrite what happened and come out with books and movies about it. It doesn't get you out of this case.
That's a long game.
Yeah, and... I love that. So there's all these Conjuring movies, and basically the story is also how like the husband and wife's love is what gets them together to fight these ghosts. And when you read about their real life, they had a 16-year-old girl that lived in the garage, and the husband slept in there some nights and with the wife some nights.
Wow.
They had a...
A slave? Like a kidnapped teen?
They had a child.
Wow.
They had a child he fucked.
That's like, Drake, you are hiding a child.
That's his mouth. That's good. That's all we need. Now we can assemble a picture.
But like, yeah, like the couple who's running around town talking about they could get rid of demons, yeah, they're definitely up to something.
Now their kids run the museum.
That's him. Are they alive?
The couple's not alive, but their kids are alive. And they run a museum of all, like the Annabelle doll and all that shit's in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So all these scary movies revolve... Wait, I never even connected the dot that these are all the same family, like the same family in all these movies.
It's the people that come to solve it are all the same. It's the Warren family.
You get away with a lot of crazy shit if no one's paying attention.
Of course, yeah. Especially wherever this hellscape is.
Boston, 2009.
Boston, 2009.
Also, this movie is so lazy that one of the characters is dressed identically to the girl from Blade Runner.
Oh, wow.
I believe it's this one. Yeah, the blonde with the silver.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they just dressed the girl identical to Blade Runner and went, fuck it, no one will notice.
The soundtrack isn't bad.
No, it's that brooding 90s
Yeah, like even like 90210 kind of had that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That riff was all through the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, that could mean somebody's up to no good or somebody's going to fuck.
Yeah, it's like a distressed guitar. Yeah. Yeah.
Or like right before you take the pills to kill yourself.
Yes. For sure.
Dr. Younger?
Oh, they have FaceTime.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm sorry, just they got that right.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Dr. Younger. This is Dr. Underwood at Boston.
It's weird how they
she even turned off the video and kept the audio like you could do on calls.
Yeah.
Lady of Mercy.
What can I do?
It's weird how right they get some things. Or like...
Semen and blood samples of her assailant are turning out some very odd readings in it. Could you come down to the lab?
How they would assume we have space travel and mutants, but they didn't figure out we would have HD video.
I've been on my feed for 18 hours. Can it wait until...
No.
You gotta see the semen. Come over now.
What is it? I was hoping you could tell me.
When they make a hot chick in a movie, I have short
hair. I was hoping you could tell me she's like an expert on cum.
What are you saying, brother?
When they make a hot chick in a movie, I have short hair. Like, it's just not my cup of tea, so it's hard to get into her as a hot chick.
Well, I think they want you to take her.
You're not a fan of the pixie cut.
Seriously.
Just not, like, I know it's that generation. That was what was hot back then, but no, it's not. I think it's made to make her
look like a professional.
Yeah, we should really call out our
So a girl with a pixie cut comes up to you, and she's like, I need help. You're like, tighten up, bitch.
I'd get the yacht mop on her at that point.
A new case.
What's the matter? Holiday flights all booked up?
No, my date canceled. Now talk to me about Adrian Dunn.
He's,
It took so long for him to get to the screen.
What?
It took so long for us to see him.
Oh, he's
been
earlier.
In it, but he's just been kind of obscured.
Yeah, brooding.
That is done.
Oh, come on, Grayson.
Listen, some rape case ID'd him last night.
It can't be done. He's dead.
I mean, what a wild
he's sick. He's
set of events it must be.
Done
that he's just, let's face it, he's on a cocktail of things at this point.
He is such a man, though.
Oh, yeah.
I get wanting him to be in shit, you know? He has, like, Mel Gibson vibes.
Yeah. My right, Captain. No, he's huge. He's got a weathered face.
Yeah, you know he can talk, like he's a talker.
Listen, I'm handling this rape case myself, all right? The victim is locked up in an ISO ward over at Lady of Mercy with some weirdo virus the doctors never even heard about.
I could give two shakes. I want to know about Dunn.
Trust me, Grace.
Oh, also,
he was DOM.
The curses are edited out.
Doctors, everybody.
So did he just say I could give two shakes or shits?
Shakes.
Yeah. So that's edited out, and then somebody says fuck, and they edit it out. They dub it over because they were trying to avoid an R rating, and then they got one anyway. Because I believe the rule with R is, PG-13, you can have one fuck.
Okay.
So I think they edited out that somebody says it more than once. And then they still got it for the gore. And also because they had no money to bribe the MPAA, like real movies do. You know, they don't talk about it enough. Is Roddy Piper a cocaine Hall of Famer?
For any guy in that bus, in the heel bus, I would put as a drug Hall of Famer, just a party Hall of Famer, you know, every single one of them.
Because whenever you hear Pritchard tell stories, seems like Roddy was really going through some blow.
Right.
And I can't let you in anywhere right now. This case is just...
Yeah, did you see the... Was it... Bash at the Beach, the old like NWA footage of them where they just have like the play to blow in the back and they're just dipping their fingers.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. Oh, dude, it's rough. It's like all the boys like, and they get their hands on one of those old timey like big like camcorders and they're filming each other just like for the first time. It's like they're literally filming like figuring out how to film each other. The whole NWA roster in like 1988, I think, maybe even later.
Well,
Cornette's
there. Yeah, there's
Cornette's there.
Hell
makes
yeah,
a couple appearances, tearing strips off people.
Hell
he
yeah.
doesn't stick. With the way they do the coke is the funniest, where they just stick their finger in the pile and then like put it up their nose. It's just like such a barbaric approach. Yeah, they want it.
There's that great Sheik story where he tested positive. Yeah. You heard that, right?
No, no.
So,
damn. He looks like that woman that is famous.
I'm trying to think what you mean.
She's a lady now who's like real thin in the face.
Oh, oh.
Pointy.
Hold on. I know who you mean. She's very bird-like.
Yeah.
She is in the new Suspiria. Give me the, fuck, I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lightsaber, bro. It's a tiny lightsaber.
It's a stun stick. I need a room.
Sure. Ladies in the booth, can you tell me the, who's the famous actress that was in the Suspiria remake?
Is it Tilda Swinton?
Thank you.
Yes, Tilda Swinton. He looks like her.
Thank you.
There we go.
I couldn't remember that name either. But yeah, so I can't remember who... Somebody tells it in a shoot, but Vince calls the Iron Sheik in, and he's like, listen, I got some bad news, pal. You tested positive for cocaine. And the Iron Sheik goes, oh, yes, excellent. And he's like, no, not excellent.
Yes.
You tested positive for cocaine. And he goes, oh, did Jake and a Snake test positive? And Vince goes, no. He goes, and he couldn't say JYD for Junkyard Dog. Called him JVD. He goes, did JVD? No. And he named like three other wrestlers. And he goes, did they test positive? And Vince goes, no. He goes, they were all with me doing it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's great.
That's a Marty Jannetty story now that I remember.
That's fun.
He definitely partied his career away.
Oh, yeah.
Which one are we talking right now?
Jannetty? He's still doing it.
Makes Facebook posts now.
Jannetty on Facebook?
He admitted to a murder on Facebook a year ago. He said he killed
a guy. He said he killed a guy that tried to molest him.
A homeless guy,
when
yeah.
he was a kid, yeah, right? Or something like that.
But he'll post, dude, he'll post wild shit. Like, he'll post a picture of a girl and be like, hey, this girl messaged me. Y'all think she's 18? Don't feel bad. Like, he's going. He's in it. Don't feel bad.
You're trespassing on hospital property and my privacy. Now, I've been told that
Captain Lankett is in charge of this case. Yeah, speaking of Sheik, he had a show in Toronto, and he came in there, and he wanted
to get more water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He refused to wrestle until they brought him crack. None of the boys wanted to get him crack, so he locked himself in the car and wouldn't come out until they got it.
So
some Sheik. So somebody gave him mushrooms because that was all they kind of had. So he took the mushrooms. Now he's fucking batshit tripping. So he's not coming out of the car. He's like yelling, like swinging through the window when people were trying to get him in. He had a full-blown panic attack and they took him home.
The Iron Sheik.
He never wrestled, yeah.
Wow. These old men are in their 60s losing their shit.
He had a house.
Who runs this? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
He had a house with a bunch of wrestlers that some of them I know. And there's horror stories of them hiding under their beds in closets at 6 in the morning while Sheik's running around with the fucking bat screaming, where's the rest of the coke? Or, like, wanting more coke, you know? So, he's what you see is what you get with him.
And I know someone else runs his account. I'm really curious who runs his Twitter.
I think some comedy writer runs his
shit.
It's
got to be a comedy writer, right?
Sounds like a cop's wet dream.
And he's a... big guy. That must be a scare. Wait, did he have a bat or did he have his Persian club?
That's what I mean. Yeah, the club.
Oh, the Persian
club. Yes, and you know he's doing it just for show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, he could have grabbed anything up. But 5 more years. Like, the legends, I always say, I'll fuck around with them after a certain point. Like, if they're still thick and, like, really, I'll be like, okay, maybe in 5 years I could take them, you know? And then when 5 years goes down, like, if it's not there, I'll be like, another 5 years I'll take them, you know? Sheik's in that range where it's like, 5 years he could go like Jericho, like, where it's just like, starts to unravel really quick, you know.
You know the victim? Jericho looks great some weeks, and some weeks he comes out and he looks like a fucking boiled ham.
Yeah, man, it's wild.
It's all depending on what he was booked doing in between.
Yeah, it's it's like what concerts he went to the weekend before is how he's gonna look.
But it also felt like he was ready to have a good media career too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm surprised he didn't get into it more than... I guess Austin didn't either. It's just The Rock.
Yeah.
Nobody else won.
I think Austin was beat down.
Oh, Batista.
Yeah, Batista works.
I'm saying, like, in terms of... Yeah, you know, he's out here winning. Like
Batista makes movies.
I think Batista, that was always the end game for him, though.
For sure.
I don't think he ever gave a shit about wrestling.
Okay.
I think he always wanted to just be an entertainer, and that was a good conduit to it.
Worked out.
And then Austin is just not a good actor.
Like, he never connected with me.
At all times, he's just stone cold. Like, if you put him on a camera, like, no matter what the role, he's just stone cold.
Like, I prefer an Austin promo over a Rock promo, but, I mean, Austin acting-wise, it never, like, grabbed me at all. Company in the
conversation.
And he used to be in, like, he used to appear on some shit, too, when he was, like, before he really chased acting, and that was always bad, too.
Yeah, it would always be, like, Silk Stockings or other USA shit when they did the crossovers. That's, like, when Rock was on Star Trek.
Rock Bret Hart in something once?
Bret Hart was definitely in something. Bret Hart was on...
He's like a cowboy or something.
Walker, Texas Ranger or something like that, right? Something with Chuck Norris. Something. Or no, he had a whole season of a show, I think. So they tried to push everybody. So Triple H was in Blade 3.
Yep, I remember that.
And he didn't wind up acting more. I feel like everybody started to realize The Rock could act when he played his dad on that 70s show.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this guy's really funny. He has timing.
He has timing for sure. Triple H, it's interesting to see how, like, he became the face of the company.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, now he's, like, head of just this week, they announced he's the head of creative and what else? Just the head of creative, right?
Stephanie, I think, owns a good.
Yeah, and Stephanie is, like, Stephanie co-CEO. And Nick Khan are co-CEOs. Vince is out. And, yeah.
What happened to the son?
Shane, he got booted after Royal Rumble, apparently. So, like, this year at the Royal Rumble, or was it two years ago? It was this year. Vince McMahon was not at the Royal Rumble for some reason, and so they were all backstage trying to figure out the match and whatnot. And I guess Shane kept butting in, like ruining shit
and making himself.
And
the
he's in the match, so it's not like he's not trying to be like. Yeah, he's just like he lasts very long. He wanted to like fight Lesnar in the ring or something, like something really stupid. And then all the guys basically laughed at him, like Randy Orton and Lesnar were like, "You're a fucking clown." Apparently, he almost ruined the match. And then Vince, it just came out last week that Vince said Shane will never get another pop.
Yeah, he'll never get another chance
in the WWE.
Yeah. After, I mean, I watching Shane wrestle was scary because
he was untrained.
He turned into a tomato.
Yeah, he got real bloated.
Like,
it was fun.
And he was still trying to jump off shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was always impressed that when Shane wrestled, it looked like Shane wrestled. Like, you know how, like, there's some guys who, like, you go, oh, that's their style. Like, you could watch someone else do it, and you'd be like, oh, that looks like, you look like you're acting like The Rock. Like, Shane has a style, which is impressive for just
so somebody
the kid
threw,
of the owner
watching
to
Shane
have
wrestle
his own
is like watching Adam
thing.
Sandler play ball. It's like,
yeah, there's something to it.
It's dad getting in a fight at a barbecue.
Yeah, there's
you
something.
Know?
Yeah.
If somebody threw 20 punches and it looked like two of them connected, you'd be like, oh, that's a Shane McMahon style
of
wrestling.
They should have shot this shit in the day.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's supposed to be like moody or it was
Is it because we have
the
lights on in the studio?
No. We watch shit on this. This is how we do it. It's never.
Yeah, it's just like the amount of darkness is. Yeah.
Yeah, we have friends that have done a few of the wrestling roasts, and they have a number of funny stories about the old guys still holding on to the party.
Right.
I guess
that's terrifying though, because like these guys, they got bad joints. Like these guys fall over, who gonna come pick them up?
Yeah, it's bad.
Our one friend who I won't name was on one of them, and they were supposed to go out and Brutus the Barber Beefcake wouldn't go on stage because he quote unquote lost his backpack.
No.
And he's like, I can't find my backpack. I need my backpack. And then when they found his backpack, he spent 20 minutes in the bathroom with it. And then some guy came out of the bathroom and went, dude, I just did blow with Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Wow.
I wanted to do a line with New Jack. That was one of my goals.
This is my question. So, like, I'm on the road a lot, so I get it. But, like, what is it about wrestling, at least the drug use? Is it your body just hurts so much from being beat up?
I mean, I think we should ask the wrestler.
I would say it's that, and then you start doing it, and it's fun. It's like you're riding the high from the show, you know? So it's like you have the show, you go to the bar, and then you kind of rekindle that fire from the show with said drugs. And also, yeah, when you're not doing it, it kind of sucks as well. So you take it just to like numb yourself to speed up the next time you're doing it. At least for me, I'm not speaking for everyone. Some people probably have like fucked up shit that happened in their past, you know.
Of course, but, yeah.
I think it's also like similar to comedy in that like you work an hour a night, you're on the road, you're up and you're down.
You're alone a lot, and I think that's
you're not in control of your schedule.
Come into play, yeah.
you need something to get up, you need something to go down. I mean,
I'm not judging. I mean, like, I smoke weed, a copious amount of weed on a daily basis.
Too much,
so, like,
yeah.
I get it.
But there is a difference between weed and, like,
yeah, but, like, weed allows me to still do the job good. Like,
yeah.
I feel like opioids.
No one said we're not doing the
job
good.
I would think cocaine makes you an amazing wrestler, though.
Okay.
I mean, I can, like I said, I can pretty much perform on anything other than psychedelics and stuff. Something that'll fuck your perception up, I can't do.
You imagine trying to wrestle on shrooms?
No. I'm sure there's... there's a guy. The show I'm going to Toronto, Detroit. The last time or two times ago I was there was a guy and his wife that were both wrestlers on the show, and they went to go do some deal off the top to the floor, threw a bunch of stuff, and she just completely missed. Pencil dive, cracked her skull on the floor. And I had just done lines with a guy I can't say who used to play for the Red Wings. Come back in, and I see, like, the chick bleeding out in the floor, and the way that they kind of, like, tried to save her was they just wrapped her from head to toe in a blanket and just left her in the back of the, like, locker room. So it's just, like, the puddle from the blood's getting larger and larger and larger.
Did this woman survive?
Dude, she survived. She was fine, but her husband, Schwartz, he was on mushrooms tripping real bad while his wife cracked her head open, so... He tried to claim, like, that he handled it really good, but I, like, vividly remember him with, like, his eyes wide screaming at people to turn the lights on.
It's haunting.
Yes.
Yeah, Necro Butcher was on Wrestling on Acid when he found out they mentioned him on the Oscars. His mom called him. They're like, "You're on the Oscars." And he's, like, tripping on acid, wrestling Hernandez. I can't imagine that. When I do mushrooms, I forget how to walk sometimes.
Right, yeah.
Like, my legs go out from under me, and I walk like Bambi.
Let me ask you, do you guys have any experiences when you're on psychedelics where if you're in a vehicle, like a car or a train, you ever be tripping like acid on like shrooms and you're like in a car and a train and it feels like you're time traveling?
I haven't had that one, but I know the feeling of, like, it feels like you're in a tunnel. And there's lights going by. Like, I felt like I'm in, like...
Time travel, yeah.
You know what? It feels like time travel because it is. Because if you walked, it would take longer. And so it is time... You're getting somewhere fast, and that's the... You're actually realizing what it is, which is, like, you're speeding up your time.
You're in a car on acid, it feels like the way they portray time travel in movies.
Yeah.
The best example to explain this to you, like, we took a cab ride. I was tripping on acid, and I took a cab ride from the comic strip... 82nd and 2nd to the Comedy Cellar, and, like, just going down 2nd Avenue for so long, I was like, "Yo, bro, we are traveling through time right now." And my boy was looking at me like, "Yo, bro, you have got to get it together."
I would be so scared to go to the Comedy Cellar on acid just because the amount of famous people I would not want to see tripping. Like, also, I would be so afraid.
If you drive from the cellar up to the comic strip, it is like traveling through time when you go inside.
Exactly.
It's just 1985. They have pictures of Chris Rock with a tiny mustache. And
the very 90s. First Skankfest, I was tripping, and the last night I couldn't go on stage for my last show. Like, I freaked out. So they put me in the old green room at the Creek on Beanbag, and I kept, like, waking up not knowing where or when it was, and I would think it's the future or, like, that it was years before, and then I kept waking up to progressively more famous people checking on me, and it really fucked me up. So it was like I would fall asleep and it'd be Big J like, "You all right, buddy?" I'd be like, yeah, and I would go to sleep, and then I would wake up and it was like Jeff Ross making fun of me, and then I would go to sleep and I would wake up and it was like Michael Che shaking me, and I'm like, "Why are all these famous people here?" And then at one point I'm like half awake watching and everybody's sitting in a circle and they're talking about whether they should go home or not, and Jay goes, "Yeah, we gotta go home. Zach's been dead for 4 hours."
That's hilarious.
And then I went, "Oh no, I'm dead," and they're trying to figure out what to do with me.
Oh no.
And then I was convinced I was dead and all these comedians were having a meeting.
Under psychedelics you'll accept that reality. Yeah.
But they were having a meeting on how to dispose of the body.
That's scary as hell.
That's perfect, man. Oh, I love that sweater. Sweatshirt?
So it's just you screaming, "I'm good, I'm good."
No, I was very quiet. I was on stuff I could handle, and then somebody gave me an edible and told me it was one dosage, and it was like 100 milligrams more than I was comfortable with.
Damn.
And then I was just gone.
Ran off with you.
Yeah. Scientist extraordinaire. Yeah, you got to watch out at festivals because I feel like the numbers on edibles are never what.
Yeah, no.
One time we went to a Travis Scott concert and then took the shrooms, go to the cellar afterwards. But by the time we get to the cellar, the shrooms are in full effect. They're just kicking my ass. And Comedy Central was filming that like this week at the cellar show. So they got us in the background of the shot, but we're not in the shot. We're just in the background of the shot. But the shrooms are kicking my ass right now. And like there's just a big bowl of like chicken bones from like we ate an order of wings. And I just like the anxiety. I don't know what happened. I just flipped the whole like plate of chicken bones all over. And you know, like you could write on the table. So it's like sticky. And like the Jordan Rock who's with me, he's like, yo, what the fuck, man? But he's tripping on shrooms too. He's like, yo, what the fuck? Why'd you just do it? I was like, bro, you know I'm out my mind right now. Come on, man. Don't make a scene right now.
I can't be around people like that when I'm on shrooms.
I was just thinking that I need to be alone every time.
I need a blanket in The Simpsons.
Time. Yeah, it was way too much stimulation.
I can do like a cap and a stem and go out, but I can't be fully tripping.
Nah, I definitely was doing it. I was out of my mind.
Tripping. Yeah, I do it. Yeah.
She's developed tumorous masses along her face, breast, and stomach.
Oh my lord! Is that cancer?
This feels like a Cronenberg film.
Yeah. I feel like this is almost like a Mad Libs futuristic movie where they're just like, all right, let's get a little Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. Let's get a little cop movie. A little Cronenberg in there. They're like, let's just sprinkle a little of everything and kind of make it a movie.
Yeah. Like at one point, something has to crawl out of someone's stomach, right?
I don't know. I would imagine one of these ladies that has to give birth or something.
The virus is clearly infectious. Casual contact seems safe enough, but I wouldn't bet the mortgage on it. Well, you better go downstairs.
What if he just beats the shit out of this black doctor for like 10 minutes? I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else. I thought you were Keith David. I'm really sorry. By the way, Keith David is in Nope, and it's excellent casting.
Oh, did you see? You saw Nope, obviously.
Yeah,
you liked
it? Yeah, I loved it.
Okay, I gotta see it.
Is it as confusing as The Tenement?
No. It is a big, big spaceship movie. It is a very, like, this is American cinema summer blockbuster. Here's a spaceship movie.
Really? Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the new Independence Day?
No.
But it is. It's that feeling of, like,
it's very big. Boom. It feels very big.
It feels Ghostbusters?
What?
It feels like Men in Black.
No, I think he's trying to say the promotion is bigger than what.
No. I'm saying the movie. So it's. I saw an IMAX. It's shot in IMAX, and it's got IMAX sound. So you're sitting there getting like blown back.
Okay.
Like it's when I say it's a big experience. Movie, it's a big summer movie.
Oh hell yeah.
And the two. I mean, Kiki Palmer fucking knocks out. I mean, amazing. And then Daniel
Kaluuya.
Oh yeah,
he's like just real. He came off a little autistic in the beginning, but I think he was just shy. And then towards the end of it, he's just like a stoic motherfucker. I really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah.
Then the Asian guy has one of the best backstories I've ever seen for like a side character.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a blast. Yeah, I went to and you're welcome to judge me for this. I like to see Jordan Peele movies with black people.
All right, that's a good.
I went to see Get Out at the BAM. This one we went to the Sheep's Head Bay.
You went to the hood, yeah.
And
I'm from Flatbush, so I used to finger fuck in that movie theater.
I liked it because I like watching the crowd react. Like, I like the experience.
Yeah.
And when I see a movie like that, I'm like, we got to go see it with black people.
It's like...
Yeah, I did that with John Q when I was a kid.
Get the fuck out of here.
I was in middle school. I'm like, we got to go to a black theater to see the end of this movie.
Now, I do vividly remember when the Notorious movie came out, and every movie theater was sold out in Brooklyn. And when you went to the movie theater, it was just nothing but black people and mink coats and Prada sneakers. Oh, and I just remember like, wow, okay, we here today.
Yeah, we went to Sheep's Head Bay, and then we went to the TGI Fridays across the street, which also looked like it was written and directed by Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You know, my wife's from there.
From Sheep's Head?
Yeah. Oh, she's from Marine Park. But, like, she grew up going to that theater and that TGI. Like, she said it was such garbage. She said to me, this is the TGI Fridays we went to celebrate everything. And I was like, yuck, you're a piece of trash.
Yeah, that's the, like, not everyone, but like, yeah, like that movie thing in that little spot across the street from it, yeah, like if you're from that side of Brooklyn, for sure.
There used to be a Chuck E. Cheese over there too, right? Am I wrong?
I don't think so.
No?
The only Chuck E. Cheese I could think of was the one downtown Brooklyn by the
Oh, yeah, by Bam, near Bam, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, that's true. In about
36 hours. You know, we fucked up on that TGI Fridays. We should have went to Rollin' Roaster.
You notice that they sell champagne on that menu at the Roller Roasters.
I didn't know that.
They sell a bottle of, you can buy a bottle of Moet for $150 and some chicken at that Roller Roasters.
Scott, you ever do Roller Roaster?
No, I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's like deep, deep Brooklyn roast beef sandwiches. But it's huge. It's like huge, like a Fuddruckers.
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome.
Oh, and up the block. So, like, she ever took you to the Carnazzo, like the little Italian seafood spot?
Yeah. She grew up in Marine Park, and then like right across the river too, but her family's like deep, like
across the river. Like, what you mean, like Jersey?
No, across the other side of the water. Get me some Gino Lanikin. Hold him down. Yeah, and it's just such a different experience. Like I grew up, like the meme of like what white people ate. I think this is going to be what you predicted, by the way. When something's coming out of this lady.
For sure. But now, does it run out of the room when it comes out of her?
Well, here's my question. Is the... Are they about to do the thing?
Oh, shit!
Yep. Oh, nope. It's Alien and the Thing. So it's the scene from Alien mixed with the clear scene from The Thing, right? Except nobody was good at special effects.
Yeah, it's just like a necklace with a marshmallow taped to it.
Well, something finally happened, at least. I bet it'll be fine.
Oh, now they're all turning. Now Piper's got to fuck everybody up.
Yeah, it did take very long for anything to really happen, eh?
Yeah, I would say this would be
the first thing of any.
This is the end of the second act.
I'm all set. Haste makes waste. Oh well, I guess I'm becoming a microbiologist's dream and nightmare.
Here we go. He's about to start going wild. Oh, he didn't.
I'm trying to figure out if he's going to be evil or if he's like, I'm infected now.
You know this guy?
No.
You ever seen him before?
No, I've never seen him.
You raise your voice at me. You sure?
Yes.
This is one of those that's supposed to be Boston, but it's filmed in Toronto movies.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Some movies do a better job of that. I think the worst is Jason Takes Manhattan. It's so obviously Canada, except for the one day of shoots they did in Times Square, where it's just Jason walking through Times Square and he lifts up his mask at the punks and then puts it back down. And other than that, the movie is so obviously not New York.
The extra, all the extras are like, eh?
Somebody, I love whoever wrote, so that Roddy Piper has to walk through a rave sneering at people. That's one of my favorite, like, tropes in a movie, is the, like, hardened detective has to walk through a party.
Yeah, walk through the bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what people perceive as it, yeah.
I love when they try to show, like, goth clubs in movies.
There's always someone offering you a drug that,
yes.
Like... Blade did it best, right?
Blade did it. I actually.
When he went through the rave, when he killed everyone,
and the razors with the tongues.
I think Strangeland did it really good. That's actually a pretty accurate goth club. Oh, also, I will go the Cannibal Corpse concert in Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura. Love that, yeah.
Which apparently was a Jim Carrey request.
Yes, he loves it.
He loves Cannibal Corpse.
I don't know if this was a golf club, but in Bad Boys 1.
When, I can't remember.
There's a scene like, there's a big fight club. There's a fight, big fight scene in a club. And it looked like a rave scene, but like, it's just definitely like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence getting their ass kicked by like, in a fish tank and shit.
Oh, the Righteous Gemstones do it good too. When in the first season where he loses his boyfriend.
Oh yeah,
and
man,
they go to like, the weird
show.
Goth party. They do that pretty good. I took my buddy to a goth night once, and we walked to the wrong floor, and we didn't realize it was like an S&M night. So we literally just went to like from people dancing. And then we went upstairs and, like, took the wrong turn. Mm-hmm. And there's just, like, a dude up on an X getting the shit beat out of him.
Absolutely not.
And we're like, all right, turn back around. I've taken you too far, my friend.
You know, it's not even that you guys are out of control. It's really, like, imagine being the guy who gets tied up and not make sure that the door's locked before you get tied up.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There was somebody on here on this show recently who was talking about working cleanup slash security at like an orgy. And there was just a mattress room. And it sounded like dangerous work.
Hey, is it common for the lady right up the road to be laying on that mattress? When I was walking here. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the tent.
It looked like, I didn't know if she was tanning because she didn't look homeless.
But
it's a full bed in the middle of the sidewalk. Everyone has to walk around her. She's like laying all sprawled out. It's a bed, though.
This neighborhood's gotten very odd.
Oh, dude. Up and down, driving down 2nd, I don't like it anymore. It's, like, weird.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't not like it.
On the corner over on A.
Driving down 2nd? Coming down south? Oh, you mean East 2nd Street, not the Avenue.
No, I mean 2nd Ave. 2nd Ave, yeah, coming down. It's weird.
2nd Avenue is sketchy now?
No, it's just different. It's like, I don't know. It's since the pandemic... Or I've just gotten older where, like, I used to love, like, St. Mark's and shit, right? And
then, like, that whole
place sucks. It's the worst.
St. Mark's is all, like, Japanese restaurants.
Yeah,
and they once they destroyed that corner where they had, like, the McDonald's and the papaya dog. And, like,
yeah, it's all trash.
The whole top of the corner got dark. And then, like, yeah, it's just nothing but Asian restaurants. It's like, I don't want
garbage.
Quail.
Every night is garbage night for some reason. What the fuck? When did that happen?
Mahmoud's is the only Mahmoud's and the V spot. The only reason I come down that block.
Oh, V spot's great. Yeah.
I bombed so hard the last time I did the V spot. I don't know if they walked by and saw a comedy show or if they were eating there and went into the back, but there was just a group of like.
Yeah, she did.
They had to be 18, 19 year old.
Oh, there's a lot of that at the V spot.
Really.
Don't shrug me off.
And I don't want to say a silly term like woke, but just real. Like young people with real young people ideals, and me doing my horseshit comedy.
Yeah.
They hated me so much. And then a UFC guy was Jake Shield. Some UFC fighter was there, and I just remember I bombed, and he was just sneering at me.
I know it's. Yeah, we're at that age where like we're just old farts to people, like someone mentioned Three Ninjas earlier.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in every Three Ninjas movie, there's a part of the movie where the kids get into like a little rambunctious prank on somebody. We're the people that they would prank.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know. I think about that all the time. I'm like, I'm the guy who like is gonna attack the kid.
Yeah.
Like I have those three in the first one.
Yeah.
Those three dudes who are just high all the time eating pizza. I'm like, I'm older than them for sure.
Yes, you are.
They were supposed to be like 20.
But that's
in that
who you.
Movie.
But that's who we are to these people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I tip real
good. Oh, dude, it's fucked me up. We were watching, me and my wife watching Full House, and it was Danny's, like, 30th birthday. And it was the dad's 30th birthday.
No. With three kids.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
They used to joke about that, about how TV used to, like, really give us fucked up expectations. They was like, some chick tweeted that Sex and the City made her think that she was supposed to have, like, a dope-ass apartment. And writing on a column for, like, the biggest journalism by the time she was 24. And it's like, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's absurd.
So Danny was 30 with three daughters and a widow. And he was already...
at a giant house.
In the Bay.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Oh, no.
Yeah. Damn.
Lie, lie, lie. You promised to wait for me. It
go home now, my love.
Hell yeah, dude.
Wait, was that kid undressing her?
Oh, I have no clue.
I'm trying to figure out if they found actually decrepit places to shoot, or if this is art direction.
It's so dark it reminds me of The Crow.
Yeah. I've told this story before, and I apologize, but I was working on a movie a few years ago, and we were shooting in an abandoned hospital. And I mean abandoned to the point where we had to get the electric put back on.
Okay.
Put it up. And we were only on the first floor. We were only allowed on the first floor. The virus. And we were missing something, like we needed more chairs or something for a scene. So we sent, and we had been there for like 2 or 3 days. There was no running water. We had to use a bathroom next door. And we sent like 2 or 3 PAs to the second floor to go grab more chairs. And they just come back haunted looking. And we're like, what? They went, the entire second floor is beds and people's stuff. And we're like, oh, we've been in, it's a squatter community, has been like scurrying around us the whole time, and
oh
we haven't noticed.
Oh my God.
So it was full of homeless people that like set up in this abandoned hospital, and we were there for days just fucking around, and they, I guess they were just scurrying around and we didn't see them.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, the whole second floor was like very obviously recently lived in.
Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of shit.
You know, this neighborhood was never awful, like where we are. And recently, post-pandemic, a bunch of shit closed. And now there's like a little tent city over here.
What are you talking about? This is New York. We don't do tent cities here.
Oh, no. Thompson Square Park has like a little tent city that comes on and out now.
Is that the thing I just walked by?
The park on the other side? Yeah.
I saw tents, and I thought like there was a camp thing happening. Like,
and there's that dude on, what, 4th Street and 2nd or something that he's like at like 4 in the morning. He's like raping girls and shit. You know, have they caught that dude?
Oh, I don't know.
It was like 2 weeks of like some guy was attacking women at like 4:30 in the morning on 4th Street over there.
Yeah, it's gotten a little, like I remember, I moved to New York in 2005, and I guess maybe I wasn't looking for it as much, but like, dude, for my anniversary, me and my wife got like a nice, nice hotel room in Williamsburg, and it was like great view of the park, view of the basketball court, and we're sitting on our like little balcony, and we just watched a guy shoot up in the street, and I'm like, this is Williamsburg, Jesus Christ,
right?
This is like the Disneyland of Brooklyn.
I knew New York was kind of getting dangerous, where like, and I'm not even a stickler for the rules, but like when you would catch people smoking cigarettes on the train, I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, people don't give a fuck. I remember if somebody's coming
that's
on the train.
Because like, everyone smoked, like, it's just a clear declaration that just fuck all this shit to be smoking a cigarette on a train.
Dude, it's been 25 years of not smelling smoke inside. It's like genuinely strange. It smells like deep memories.
Your
it's
brain
crazy
doesn't put it together
how far back
sometimes.
Your brain goes when you smell smoke
sometimes
inside.
If you smell like a cigarette on the train, you're like, is something on fire?
Yeah.
Because your brain doesn't even think it could be a fucking cigarette.
But then also, like, the person who's smoking a cigarette is never someone who looks calm, cold, and relaxed. The cigarette is always, like, this big.
Yeah.
It's like, and he lit it when it was this big. And it's like, yo, what, like, this motherfucker might kill us.
This is creepy.
This movie is a lot of women laying down and screaming as they kind of like move their chest up and down.
Yeah. This character went through 4 hours of makeup a day for this role, and I could not tell you what the fuck it looks like. I hope they have a good reveal of it. Or this poor guy sat in the makeup chair for a lot. There, it's a little better.
Okay.
I thought they just gave him contacts and like told him not to lick his lips for 4 hours.
I smell.
Oh man, that don't lick your lips thing is definitely real, right?
I'm not really sure what this movie's about. Because the synopsis is that a detective has to stop a guy who got exposed to a virus. But I feel like there's other shit going on that I'm not.
Yeah, there's like underground world shit happening.
Well, God bless Roddy Piper for making what I would assume is a pretty decent check.
He's been in like four scenes, though. It was, it, you know what I mean?
Well, they spread him out, though.
Yeah, they had him.
This is one of those movies where they'd be like starring XYZ and like they're in the movie for four whole minutes.
That's a new thing that they're doing for like Tubi and streaming services. They're making straight to streaming movies where they get action stars of past to be in like two scenes and then they put them in the cover on the like. I think Bruce Willis is doing a lot of them now. Robbie Goodwin's now. There it is.
What was the vampire from Spider-Man? Kraven. Morpheus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this guy looks like.
Oh, shit.
Morpheus is from The Matrix, I believe.
Piper is going to have to light a cigarette, right? That's the idea. Remember before they were like, don't light it. You know, no one light a cigarette. He's going to have to set him on fire somewhere.
Yeah.
Without catching fire himself.
Or he's going to have to blow himself up to save everybody.
Mm.
Switch
for Katie. What's that? Oh, yeah.
Screw you, Judge. You ain't leaving this building.
Screw you, Judge.
So another thing you notice in movies like this where they have one big actor, a lot of those scenes, the actor is by himself in the shot. Because they just shot him out in, like, a couple days.
Yeah.
And then they shoot everything else around it.
Yeah, this is a situation where a lot of these people didn't even meet Piper.
Yeah.
Who are in scenes with Piper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we watched a movie a few years ago on this called Ticker that had Dennis Hopper, Steven Seagal, a bunch of people, and all their scenes are just them against black backgrounds, very obviously not talking to each other, just talking to a wall, edited together. Dennis Hopper has an Irish accent in only half the movie. Hard body, what's the worst deathmatch injury you've seen in person?
Drew Parker's recently, where he gave a knee through a bundle of tubes, and the bottom one, like, it didn't go through the first time, and he went through a second, and it just, like, snapped off the back, and it was, like a shelf on the back of his knee. So it was just, like, the whole circle went, like, in him, you know? And there was no blood, though. It was, like, all meat. So they just pulled it out and stapled it. That or last week, or 2 weeks ago, Hoodfoot in Detroit, the Slade
incident.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, where he got ripped open. It was, like, white meat coming out. Like,
Did you see that?
No. Disgusting. So I ran, me and Joel Bateman, and obviously Brett Lauderdale, a guy who owns CCW, were trying to, like, obviously you're jumping into, like, quick times there because your buddy's losing blood quick. Throw Hoodfoot in the car. I drive 200 kilometers down the highway, or down even
kilometers.
Side
where are you from?
Canada. So I don't know what 200 kilometers is. It's faster. Like it's a lot faster. Probably like 160.
Are you Canadian?
150. Yeah, from Toronto. So, drove fast, threw his ass out there, and then we picked him up after, and he worked the rest of the leg with us, like just grilling and doing like barbecue and shit, and then may or may not have spent some of the donation money on booze and substance for the boys, but.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it.
This would be a great smoke session, the four of us.
The camaraderie of, a guy getting, you know, hurt and then you having to help him. Even if it's, like, not even that bad, you still have to help a guy when he's hurt a little bit. Yeah. And so you guys become good friends quickly, I would assume.
Yeah, the easiest way to get respect for somebody in wrestling is just have a good match with them.
Yeah, is to put a Band-Aid on his knee at the end of a
show. Oh, no, what he's talking about, so the two guys did a spot where they broke the tubes. And just were like dueling with them,
shanking each other.
I don't know. I don't know how they thought it was gonna.
Exactly.
It was one of those things where I was like, "What did you think was gonna happen here?" And he just took one, and it was like,
"What are these tubes?
Light tubes."
Look, I get the vision, and you never saw it, like you know, and it's like, "Oh, that's cool," but yeah, exactly. What do you think is gonna happen?
Yeah, like the fluorescent light tubes.
Yeah, the fluorescent. Usually, you just hit it like that, so it like.
Right. We were like, there was no, I like, Hoodford said he wanted to do a little stick and poke thing, like, not too hard, but Slade's, like, notoriously known as being, like, a guy if he's gonna, like, he can switch at the drop of a hat, you know, so you don't do those spots. You do that spot with, like, your best friend, you know, he knows not gonna, like, you know, slice you, and Slade was stabbing him so hard in the arm, the light tube was exploding on his arm, and he was hitting him with, like, the circle part of it, you know? So, yes.
Yeah, he just wants to inflict pain on people.
Yeah, that's Captain Lankett. Now, just he's gonna get less bookings because of that.
He'll get fucked up when he gets back. Somebody's gonna, you know what I mean? Like, and I it's not like so he knows it's coming. Yeah, it's a receipt. You know, like I've gotten a lot. Like I've gotten a receipt to me for a whole lot less. You know, so it's like it's just how it is. Into Dunn than most cops do in an entire
career, and he's still alive. Hey, what the hell am I dealing with?
Not hell. Just outer space.
Dude, they thought that was like, when they wrote that line, they were like, that's the movie.
She's here too. She's infected. She hasn't exploded yet.
She hasn't
exploded yet. I have EVRUs on the way. I have to go check on the girl. You wait here for the EVRUs. Tell the unit techs that this is level 4 isolation.
This is where the movie should have started.
Yeah, 100%.
Like him walking in, they're being like, someone's going to blow up.
I can finally see.
Yeah.
I can handle myself. Just wait here for the EVRUs.
Yeah, it only took an hour.
Insane.
And he charged less for having to talk to people.
Yeah. There we go. Get him, Piper. It's what we've been waiting for.
I just love things like this.
See, this is where he's great.
Yes.
See, now that's what I want. Had this been the first scene of the movie, I'd be pumped. Yep.
They made us wait too long for that.
Yeah. It was nice though. I gotta be honest. That was satisfying.
It was also him from the back. He could have went down, and it could have been another guy popping up, fighting as him. Oh shit!
What a shitty hospital room.
Terrible. He killed him in a really lame way too. Yeah. Like if you took out the sound effects, he just hugged him and then pushed him against the wall.
Yeah, since my match, I've definitely been more like squeamish now when I watch deathmatch stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm more scared now that I can see how easily
things can go
sideways.
Have you hurt yourself so far?
I mean, just my head was pretty bad.
That's the worst one so far.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm a manager. I just get my ass kicked every, like, once a year.
That's the thing that makes it so bad is the placement of it. Like, usually, maybe you'd have that on your back, like, to have that coast to coast.
So what happened was the guy had one of those fluorescent tubes. And he had it here on me, and he went to snap it, but it broke sideways, and it went in here and came out the other side. And then I wasn't sure what happened, and I went to talk, and my mouth filled with blood. So then I couldn't figure out where I was bleeding from. So I have like a minute of confusion where I'm like, I don't know what happened, but I know the ring is red now.
When you get hit, so when you see the fluorescent light coming, you gotta close your eyes because clearly it's glass. You don't want to get nothing in your eyes.
Yeah, your eyes just close naturally too. Yeah, right?
It's like sneezing.
Yeah. You can't get hit in the head with a light tube without blinking.
But I had been hit with one before that, and I was fine, and I just didn't see it coming. And then just you can see inside my head.
Okay, I have a question though. When it goes right. Does it hurt? Does it still hurt? Like I've never split open my head. I know that when you do split open your head, even if it's not that big, sometimes you bleed a lot, right?
Right.
You'll bleed a lot regardless. Yeah.
Is there a burning feeling? Like what? Do you get an adrenaline rush? Like do you actually go like whoa?
Talk closer to the mic.
The first one will wake you up, and the thing that sucks so much about it is like the style. The thing that I hate about deathmatch is like it's given me a lot of good opportunities, like to work in Mexico, to work all these other places that I wouldn't have gone without it. But then also, like, I have a match tomorrow in Detroit in front of 100 people. And the story around it is, like, I took a muscle buster through a chair with gusset plates on it. Gussets are, like, strips to hold down bridges. They're extremely sharp and extremely strong. They were glued to a
Imagine
chair.
Imagine a metal plate. Covered in spikes that hold bridges together.
Yeah. So I got put through that back a couple months ago. Bled the fuck out. I was in Detroit at like 4 a.m. Did not stop bleeding at all. And I'm not a big guy, so like I don't have a lot of like pints of blood in me, right? Sprayed. I have like a chemical cauterizing like spray that I'll hit it with if it's like bad. Hit it with that. Went to bed. Woke up. Whatever. Now it's the same guy that put me through it. We're wrestling again. So we both knew this day was gonna come. We both knew that when we did wrestle again, we would have to redo the same spot. But we were hoping that it would be on, it was King of the Death match or something worth it, you know? Not saying that I'm not thankful for the thing, but, you know, it's like you have to answer the bell tomorrow in a town that, on a show that, like, isn't worth it, you know?
I get that. You got to get yourself in the zone. And
What hurts on you right now?
So when I was 18, I gave a little, like, Young Bucks kick. Which you just put your like hand on the top rope and kind of lean back to throw like a kick. And it was like a low boy ring, just meaning that there was like a lot of access post at the top from where the top rope would be, where I'm like used to like put my arm on and I know there's nothing behind me. And there was like a big ass post behind me. This is on my 18th birthday too. Just dummied my brain, bruised it purple. From there, like 2 years still, I got lingering concussions for like 2 years, all while I was like, my brain's developing, you know what I mean? Like you're like 17, 18, 19. So I worked through all those, probably got so many concussions like from then as well. So now my head, I don't have as much lingering anymore, but like my shoulders, my neck, it's all connected. So it's all pretty fucked up.
Growing up, were you like a kid who fell a lot on skateboard? Like, no, for real, like you were cool getting hurt. I had friends who like, I was always amazed that they didn't give a fuck if they got hurt. I get sunburned and I think I want to be like, you know, like put in a container. And
I hate burns the most.
Burns are the worst?
Because we'll use fire a bit too, and that's the one thing the next day it's just like...
Hell.
It's not worth it, I find it.
What's like, when you feel like a rush of pain coming to you from something that just happened, where are you at mentally to like... collect yourself.
I'll think of how many spots are left in the match. And I'm like, how long until I can get out of here? If it's the finish, there's been times where the guy's pinning me and I'm just like, thank God. Like, oh my God.
I remember in my bad one, it was such a relief to know all I had to do was fall through barbed wire that I remember I felt like it was going to bed. I remember just going, oh, thank God this is over.
Right.
This hurts so bad. And how bad could this be?
Right.
And I remember just laying there going, thank God this is over.
Barbed wire is a sneaky one. You wouldn't think it sucks because of how much they use it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got
stuck in it. They had to cut me out.
Okay, but like that. You saw the barbed wire, the Shark Week thing AEW did.
Yeah, yeah.
Now on television, are they cutting the wire differently than in a death match, or no? It's kind of the same.
I've heard word on the street they use fake barbed wire, which I understand. Those guys are making respect, so much, you know. Like,
and they got
if I'm Chris Jericho, I'm not using real barbed wire.
They got to do shit. I know WCW used rubber tipped barbed wire. For their hardcore junk.
Okay, that's cool.
I think the deal with barbed wire, though, is kind of, if you need to, you just go in with clippers.
Yeah, right.
And you
that's
take
the idea.
It doesn't. It's not fake barbed wire.
And it still hurts. It doesn't feel great. I mean, something's hitting you, and it's a little pointy.
Yeah.
The way I judge it, usually, is how much does it get stuck to their clothes. Now, I know some of it was pointy because Jericho's pants ripped. Like, if you see it get stuck in their hair and their shirt and stuff, you're like, oh, that's real. But just think about how much it would get stuck to Sabu and then how much it was stuck to them.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, see, you brought up my legend guy right there. Why didn't he take off? Was his body too, like...
Chad, check his opinions on Twitter. He's wild.
Yeah,
he's wild.
Oh, Sabu's crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, even when he was, like, younger...
But deserves to be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. Like, you know, an absolute... Yeah.
I mean, brought tables to American wrestling,
yeah,
right?
It's, I mean, yeah. The things he has done is pretty insane.
So, like, is he blackballed?
No. He's He's got a lot of antiquated opinions.
What are we talking about? Like opinions on like how bad are we talking?
I
gotta look him up, but like he's dropping all the words. Every word he's dropping.
Sabu?
Oh, yeah.
Where's he from? Like Florida? Where's he from?
Detroit. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah, isn't didn't
nuts.
They used to, well, I don't know where he's from, but I know they used to jokingly say he was from Bombay, Michigan. And his uncle was the original Sheik, not the Iron Sheik. There was the Sheik,
yeah,
who was like crazy violent, and that's who trained him.
Adrian Dunn was my best friend.
Yeah, he's just like a force to me. He's just like a force to me, his wrestling style.
He's also just very entertaining, but I can see in WWE how that's a liability because I feel like one out of every three of his stunts he fucked up, which is probably how that should go. But
was that also the other part? Like
he
fucked up all the time.
Yeah,
he was a botch machine for sure. And it would be the same thing over and over again, and it's like just take it out or make it a little bit easier. You know, he finally started putting the chair to go over it, but like he was just always messing up.
But there, it was also seeing that was part of the recklessness.
Right.
So reckless, and that was part of his character.
Joey Janela, I would say, is a guy today who kind of does that, where it's just car crash, puts his body through everything style, but at least he's still graceful enough with it. You know what I mean?
I'm a big fan of Janela. Yeah. I like Janela a lot.
I like Janela for a very specific reason, in that that Mittens kid hates him.
Oh, really?
And we watched, I was at a show with him, and he was just... He hated Joey Janela so much.
Right.
And I was like, I guess I'm a Joey Janela fan now. Never
saw it coming. Yeah, I drove to Boston just to fuck a chick because she fucked Joey.
Hell yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Respect, I'm so glad.
Respect the legend, dude. Good.
Me and him watched at the first StarCast, which was, you know, like it was at All In, right?
Yeah,
in Chicago. Buff Bagwell, like, you know, you're supposed to, after the autograph session, whatever money, you know, it's like all divided and you figure it out. Well, he just like took it and left. And so it was like Conrad chasing him down to his car, being like, show me, give me the money back, give me the money back. And it's just me and Janela like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's Buff Bagwell like, I don't have your fucking money. And then they're like fighting, and then all of a sudden just like, give me 1 second. He goes to his car and then just comes back with the money. Here's your fucking money. And it's like,
thing we need here is panic.
I couldn't agree more with you, Mr. Mayor. The virus is contained here.
Oh, come on.
We'll have a fix in its
yeah, my,
72 hours.
The guy that I wrestled, my buddy Jeff, just told me a good story. He was in a match with a guy. It was a three-way match. It was him, somebody else, who maybe didn't have as much information as they should about wrestling, and Sabu. And Sabu goes, all right, so I'm going to come into the ring and hit. Or, see, Sabu was going to interfere at the end. And Sabu's like, gonna come in, I'm gonna hit you with a chair. And the guy goes, oh, okay. Are you gonna hit me flat or in the side? And he goes, I'm gonna throw it at you. And then the other guy that was with him goes, yeah, you know that thing we call Sabuing, where you throw a chair? That's named after Sabu, the guy you're talking to. And the guy was just so embarrassed.
Oh, he's talking about the move where he would throw you the chair and like
no, no,
a run jump.
You just throw it at your head and take it, you know?
Yeah, you start at your head. That looks pretty good.
Oh, he looks like a computer.
But you're talking about like Van Damme throwing it, Van Damme, I think one of the best ever.
So the way I even came to knowing Sabu was like, he's up for real sometime in the 90s on Channel 11. If you stayed up on a Saturday night till 2 a.m., 3 a.m., they would run ECW promos, and like maybe one or two matches. And it might not even been Channel 11. It might have been like Channel 35, like some other channel. And I just remember being so fast. I was like, this is not what WWF is at all.
Nah.
And like, but you're right, like, because a lot of the Sabu things I saw were just like highlights, promos for like so they would show you like two matches, but it was like promo for like their events. And now that I'm knowing you guys, I'm like, that's what that was about. Like, I was like, where the hell are these people gonna be at? And like, it was just always botched shit, him and Rob Van Dam standing on the top rope opposite ends of a fucking ring and jumping in the middle.
Yes.
Rob Van Dam is so uniquely built. And I always try to figure out if
he's been a great football player.
If he wore an ass pad or if he's just got a dunk on him.
Yeah, that boy's got a butt.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like it was his gear as a kid. That's always what made me think that. That extra long torso and then the big ass and it goes into like the piston quads.
Yeah,
I get you.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam is built like a pregnant swan. Like,
I always thought it was his gear.
And I can just imagine like if he hits a leg drop on you, he's all bottom half.
Right.
Oh, I've heard his kicks are are brutal. I heard his legs are just
Look at Scorpio.
I mean, look like I said he could be a running back. Like his thighs are thick as shit. Like
he's a big guy for being.
Well, Scorpio dropped a leg on you.
Guy.
There was a third leg hitting
Dude, did you see him and Alley Cat? That he like exploded her face, and she was in the back, and she didn't know who anybody was, and people kept trying to help her, and she's like throwing a diva attack, like get the fuck away from me, get away from me.
But that's a guy talking about, like, you know, doing drugs backstage or whatever. A guy who would just disappear all day, but he's just stretching, smoking weed.
Yes,
you know?
He's a good guy.
And that seems like a thing where I go, like, if I was a wrestler, I think I'd be high in the ring a lot.
The Van Damme approach.
Yeah, there's something, like, peaceful about it. And
they
like,
say he smoked a lot of
connected
weed.
To yourself, you know?
He smoked a ton of weed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His move was the 420 leg drop, 420 frog splash.
Yeah. But I didn't even catch WWE, it was they corrected it.
Five star,
there you go.
You know who's my guy when I was a kid? The 1-2-3 kid.
Hell yeah.
Oh, X-Pac, man, yeah.
Another great partier.
Sean Waltman, yeah.
Yeah, he follows me on Twitter.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, he's so sweet, yeah.
I met him with Lawrence at Ron Funch's Get High Watch Wrestling.
Lawrence was like, hey, let's go have dinner at, was it Longhorns or whatever, at StarCast. I was like, yeah, sure. And when I got there, X-Pac was waiting for us. He paid for us. I was like,
I would have loved to have seen him and Billy Kidman fight more.
Oh, dude, I love Kidman, too. All those guys, they like run out now. They're in, well, not like Kidman and Jamie Noble. Yeah, you know? They run out in suits to try to.
If I can make a suggestion, Reg, a few years ago in a company called Chikara, Sean Waltman did 1-2-3 Kid again.
Yeah,
and he wrestled this guy El
with a baby face, or he still had facial hair.
No, he shaved. And then
they paid him good.
He fought this guy, El Generico, who's Sami Zayn in WWE now.
Uh-huh.
And they had a banger.
Yeah.
And you could watch him. He went. Like, he was...
He still got it.
Well, he showed up in GCW for recently, a second this year, right?
He still had it. Yeah,
they worked Joey.
He got hurt, though.
Yeah. He worked Joey,
he tore his bicep, I think.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Never came
but
back.
That's a dude who, like... You watch his matches with, like, Jerry Lynn before he was even doing
the
anything.
Lightning Kid?
He's, like, a little kid, and there are better matches than what anybody was doing at the time.
Right.
What happened to Billy Kidman?
Became a producer.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys, they once you get a little older, you transition to a backstage role, and you produce matches.
Oh, okay. So, like, the guys who are that good, like, the guys who you go, like, damn, I loved him, whatever happened to him? It's usually they're the guys who put together matches now. Like,
oh, that's great.
The
so, like, even in, like, the little company I work for, we have guys that, like, you get assigned a producer. So you have your match, and then you have a producer go through it with you, figure out the pacing of it, how long it's going to be, your finish, and then those guys kind of communicate so that on the show, matches don't have the same finish. Or, like, not everybody's working a leg, or...
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, that's the most scared I've been in wrestling, is Homicide threatened to beat the shit out of me.
He's a scary dude, and he's so tiny, too, but it just everyone respects
doesn't make
him.
Sense.
Yeah,
he's so scary and so tough. Yeah, he told me, because I'm a manager, so in my head, if somebody hits me, I should go, like, I should do a big, exaggerated Paul Bear flop around.
Yeah.
And Homicide disagreed. and as he went, yo, you a big motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, in a bar fight, somebody punch you, you go down like that? I went, no. He goes, no, they got to hit you a lot. Right? You a lunatic. And I'm like, yes, sir, Dave, but I'm a manager. Shouldn't I sell? He goes, you ever sell like that when I'm in the ring? I come back here, I beat the shit out of you in front of fucking everybody. I went, yes, sir, D, thank you.
Who was hitting you? Who was out here?
H.C. Loke.
Is he a big guy? Or?
He's an ECW guy, so I thought I should.
Right.
So, hey, by the way, update on this movie. Her tits are out now. So he started unbuttoning her, or about to rape her or something, and then she ran away. So now she gets to be in the rest of the movie with a little bit of cleavage showing.
Excellent. And now this is very The Fly.
Yeah.
She dies right now.
And this is Alien.
Oh, she's driving it. Okay.
This is definitely doesn't she, Ripley take something like this in Alien?
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not yellow.
It's more futuristic. Yeah, this is very literally.
None of us mentioned The Fly. That was a scary one, too.
That's a very scary movie. Yeah, once again, this is kind of like different scenes from different space and future movies kind of panashed together.
What's also wild about The Fly is that she waits till he turns into a full cockroach and then kills
him. Yeah.
Like, bitch, kill me sooner.
Well, because he was fucking her brains out for 3 days first.
That fly energy.
Yeah. Did you ever notice? You know his dick falls off in The Fly, right?
Nah, I just noticed that his teeth, I know his teeth and mouth fell apart.
So he's chronicling, like, when his fingernails and shit, he's got them all in jars in the cabinet. Towards the end of the movie, when he opens the cabinet, his dick's in there. Oh, he's filled with farts?
Beer methane.
He's filled with farts.
Brother.
Kirby! Kirby!
I'm okay. He's over there. Behind you.
Why would he run away from her?
I'm okay, Logan.
I don't know.
Okay, that son of a bitch.
Get this done.
This seems precarious.
Stay here.
Also, they went, we need somewhere we can blow up. So we need to get them to a confined area. That's not going to cost a lot to blow up.
You guys know when you're driving through New Jersey and they got those factories where like it's just like smoke coming out of it? Every time I see those, I'm like, that's where the bad guys are living.
Yeah. It looks like Gotham from a distance, actually, kind of, yeah. They shoot. You ever see where the fire shoots up over there?
Yeah, I always wonder what that's about.
Yeah, that's just cool. I heard that the smoke isn't bad. It's water.
Water vapor.
Yeah. Everything else is bad inside of it, though.
But yeah, anytime I see those lights, I'm like, this is where they go to film a scene like this.
Yup. Even like there's scenes in Freddy Krueger where you're just like, oh, this is like a site that is
the boiler
they're not
room,
using this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely shot in, like, factories that just closed.
This is his Joker scene, man. This is, like, the scene at the end of Dark Knight.
Yeah.
There we go, look. We're gonna do this forever.
This is a trope right here.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a grenade?
That's pretty cool. The light switching like that, I like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shirt completely open
bitch,
now.
Yeah, close your shirt, sweaty.
It's a nice sleeve.
I'm going to shove this up my pussy.
Yeah, she just sticks it between her tits for no reason. What's happening?
Oh, good.
I like that thing.
A dog's dick that shoots electricity. Fantastic. He's having fun with this.
Yeah, he loves it.
Can I be honest? He is doing Jack Nicholson Joker a little.
Yeah, yeah.
The, like, yeah, nah. That spin around? Yeah,
yeah, that was a little Jack Nicholson Jokery.
So
he's pretty good.
Never found out what planet this being was from, huh?
I don't know. It's a virus.
We
could have
found out.
I don't fucking care.
We might have been talking about Sabu.
Yeah.
Believe me, old friend, you wouldn't much care for what this world is becoming.
Pretty invested in this fight. Oh, yeah.
First off, do you know how impossible it is to hold yourself by one arm like that?
You would have to change to even breathe the air.
She's gonna shove it up his ass.
Adrian! It's Katie!
This guy.
I want you, Adrian.
He's having fun.
Oh, he loves it.
Take me.
You're not.
It's so fun being a bad guy and shit like this.
Is dead.
Just overacting is so fun.
I want you anyway.
Sorry. Adrian is very busy right now.
No, Adrian. I want you now.
And it's a low budget horror movie. It's got a full body burn and a high fall.
And he didn't explode. Oh, now he did.
Yeah. Yep. That's how you know it's a movie. Somebody's on fire and somebody fell. Now the question is, does Roddy Piper retire now? Or is he's got to go back on one? He's got to stay on the force.
This is the worst police force ever.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, how's the hand?
It's okay.
Oh, this is how this should end. Ready? His hand is hurt. Maybe something happened to him. He walks outside.
Takes it off and he's got the infection.
Lights a cigarette and his head explodes.
I'd be fine with that.
How fucking cool would that be?
Gene's old job.
And you're going to take it?
Yes.
I think that's great. It's just what Gene would have wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killer, Roddy.
Say.
Just fucking blast her in the head with a coconut.
I seem to remember this quiet little spot downtown that serves up probably some of the worst sex I've ever had, but what do you think?
Mind if I take a snow check? Why didn't I give you a lift down to you, Mets?
Is snow check a term or is that a joke?
They're sending a car over for me.
Snow check. Snow.
Rain check.
Rain check.
Right.
Snow check. It could be a thing.
I don't know.
Now I gotta get back to work.
That's how you know it was filmed somewhere in Canada.
That's what they call it.
Yeah.
I guess I'll say goodbye for now.
I'd buy that for a loony. I feel like some of these guys were just doing these movies so they could kiss a hot chick other than their wives and not get in trouble.
Cena, I feel like, has done that a couple of times. Yeah. There's always sex scenes in his movies.
I don't think Piper has a problem kissing. I don't think he's got to figure it out.
How many of like the world's
wife?
How many of the world's classic pieces of works of art do you think started off as just a guy trying to get a girl back to his studio?
Oh, for sure.
The Mona Lisa looks like she got finessed. She's like, why you ain't got no clothes on?
You're going to have to stay here the whole weekend for me to finish it. What a song that hasn't been like anything.
What
in the rest
is
of
this
the movie.
Song? This song belongs at the end of like Boomerang.
Yeah.
When Eddie Murphy's walking off with Halle Berry.
They had no idea to end that. They just, he said no, and then they just cut to the building for no reason.
They did
went,
kiss.
We don't know. Then they should have ended
Doris Milmore.
Young boy.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sci-Fighters. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I want to thank my guests, Reg Thomas, Scott Chaplin, and hello, Hardbody. You guys are absolutely the best. Thank you for hanging out with us here on this week's edition of Zach Amica's Midnight Spook Show. Goodbye.